Former NHLer writes now at OilersNation.com. Clearly a Boston Red Sox fan. Brian Sotheby joins us. Are you a Red Sox fan?
I'm not.
Oh, you just like
the hat?
I'm just
posing, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Jays fan at heart.
So how can you be a Jays fan but wear a Boston Red Sox hat?
Well, because I'm not that diehard of any baseball fan.
Okay.
It's kind of like my football love. I love fantasy baseball. And I remember being a kid watching the Jays growing up in the World Series and all that, but I've kind of got away from it a little bit. If they were a good team this year, I'd really hop back on the bandwagon.
Okay.
And the story with this hat is my buddy bought it, and it was too big for his head. So he figured my head would fit, and I'm wearing a freebie right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is a freebie one of those? So that's, that's just a form-fitting hat.
Yeah, it's a form-fitting hat.
What size is your chrome dome?
I don't even know. 7 3/4? Oh,
okay.
Maybe, or 5/8?
You got nothing. You're not even close to Yukon and Brownlee. Like, those guys might be nines.
Yeah?
Oh. You seen those two bison heads?
Yeah.
They're huge. Well, like, they're the worst guys to sit. If you have to sit behind them at a sporting event or at a movie theater, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you're screwed. So,
but no, I'm big time poser right now as a Bo Sox fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're
honest. I'm honest.
I don't have a problem with that. Ever have a good April Fool's gag played on you or by one of your teammates that you've seen around the hockey world?
Boy, I don't know. I should have come prepared with a story. It didn't happen on April Fool's, but the best prank I've ever seen is when we had a player told the cops a story, and a friend of a friend knew a cop in the city that we were in, and came up with a story that would make this player believe that he was getting arrested, and pulled him out of a team event at a restaurant. Cops came in and read him his rights and put him in the back of a cop car, and he was pretty much in tears.
How old was he? A rookie?
Mind. Yeah, he was a young guy. And we let him drive him around the block. But that wasn't that wasn't April Fool's, but that was probably the best one I've seen.
Oh, man. So now, when did they... So then they came back around and the cops say, hey, we're just pulling your leg?
Yeah. It ruined his night. Like, he couldn't even...
He still couldn't get over it?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was laughing, but I mean, it was... I mean, he thought he was getting arrested.
Yeah, but the minute you're not arrested, you'd be like, all right, I'm free.
Well, yeah.
Let's shots rain, baby.
It eventually got better.
Oh, well, man. That's actually not bad.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's not bad. So, I've heard a few. George LaRocque probably had one of the best pranks, completely politically incorrect. Him and one of his teammates who don't want it. Anyway, they made a big joke about using the N-word in network that everybody thought it was a legitimate fight in the locker room.
Like, I think
legit.
Was that a video? Or I remember that a few years ago, way
sure.
back.
With did they have it on video?
I don't know. I thought I remember hearing about it. Maybe that just came through the grapevine of around the league.
Yeah.
But.
And his own, like, only the two teammates knew about it.
Yeah.
And so they played the joke on everybody else in the room. And, like, the guys were losing their mind.
It, yeah.
Especially because the guy was one of those kind of mouthy guys.
Yeah.
So you would expect
Seemed
him.
Legit.
So you'd think, you know, like, he's mouthy enough where his mouth would write checks that he can't cash, kind of
man.
Thing.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would raise a few eyebrows.
Oh, I bet you'd have guys completely off their rocker over that. The Edmonton Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
You've played on teams where the season's been over. I get that. And, you know, you're playing out the string.
Yeah.
And people are talking about how, well, you know what? It's hard to get motivated. I understand all that. However, being shut out 5-0 on March 30, to me, that performance looked no different than when they got shut out 5-0 by Detroit in December. So
yeah.
I don't buy that it's late in the year and they've tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
That game to me shows an even bigger, it just kind of, not a bigger issue, it's the same issue we've seen, that there needs to be a major shakeup in the lock. Do you agree with that, or do you think some tweaks could fix this team?
No, I think you need a pretty big shakeup. I agree with you for the most part. I think it's been the same result. I think 5-0 loss in earlier in the season to Detroit was very much the same. It is a little bit easier given the end of the season, and guys probably don't have that extra little push that they were maybe fighting for back then. But this team seems to have not had that for most of the year, unfortunately. So for me, yeah, this team needs a big overhaul, and I don't know how you do it. I think it's going to have to come through a big trade of some sort. I mean, you're not going to be able to put all the pieces together for next year through the draft or free agent signing. I don't even think there's a lot out there. So, but absolutely the culture and the way things are going right now, it's got to be rock bottom or close to if it's not. And the only way to change that is through big trade.
I know a lot of people who maybe haven't been in a room, they don't necessarily agree or buy into the culture factor. I'm not one of them. I think it's a huge thing.
Yep.
I've been on team, and it doesn't matter at any level. You play in junior, you are on a team where you had just a different level of expectations coming from the players. Right. Yeah. I experienced it myself personally when I went from one team to another in the middle of a year. And I look at Edmonton, and I'm not even sure the players know that they're added to the culture, the guys who have been in it, is as bad as it is because they haven't been in one at the NHL level that's good.
Yeah, I would agree.
So how do you change it then?
I think you start to move some of those guys out. I think that at some point the culture has to change. And I've said it before on this show that I didn't really realize it either until I went to an organization that had those winning ways. It was unacceptable to lose. It was unacceptable to lose two in a row. And you just hated coming to the rink. And I'm not saying that these guys aren't frustrated or that they don't want to win games or they don't care. But I think at some point losing does kind of become acceptable. And you've done it so much and they've been so young that they've never seen it any other way. And you just kind of get okay and shrug your shoulders when something has to change. And I think the only way you do that is to slowly start moving some of those guys out and bringing more veterans in and guys that have come from winning organizations.
And there's obviously a risk in that because some of the guys you move out, when they go into a new organization, all of a sudden it's an epiphany. Oh, this is how it is.
Absolutely.
And suddenly your work ethic or how you go about your business is totally different.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's... Some of the older players probably believe that they're forechecking hard and they're working hard and that, you know what, well, it's okay to take a risk at this time. It's okay. That's how we should play.
Yep.
When they realize when you get into a good team that just by walking in the room, sometimes you can sense it, right? Like that's
big time.
I think it's understandable why we've seen some players who leave Edmonton, not all, but some who have success when they go somewhere else, not because they were bad players, but you were in a bad environment.
Yeah. When you have your career sort of put on the line or you get traded, you feel like obviously you've done something wrong at some point and you're going somewhere to get a fresh start. And it's sort of an eye-opening experience that you realize I have to change or something has to change within me. And you go to these new teams and usually things have changed. I heard a little bit of your interview with Cogliano last week, and I don't know what he was like as a player here. I didn't really get to follow him, but you've seen what he's done this year. And he sounded like just a very mature player, a guy that had found himself, found his game, talked about playing the right way, learning from a veteran like Saku Koivu and seeing how he plays, not letting things snowball, and really working on the mental side of things. And he just sounded like a veteran player that's been on a good team and really found himself. And I think that's more a product of going to an organization that expects to win, going to an organization with guys like Getzlaff and Perry and Francois Beauchemin that have won before and pull everyone in that direction and push guys to play hard every night and know that's expected of you. And it was impressive. I thought his interview was fantastic. And you don't hear a lot of guys that speak about the game with that sort of intelligence or that reflection on this team, other than maybe a Matt Hendricks, who's brand new, and an Andrew Ferentz, who's been around the block as well.
Brian Sutherby joins us, and it can be a much bigger process than maybe they realize. And I wonder how much of that comes from even outside of the dress room, the organization itself. How much of it is is on the players, but how much of it would come from coaching, from management?
Well, I think a huge part of it comes from management and scouting. Management obviously has changed, and I think Mac T is trying to do the things and bring in some of those character guys. You've seen the guys that he's brought in this year, and I'm sure he's looking to find guys that can play more minutes with that sort of character. But a lot of it for me is finding out about these players, about these personalities beforehand, when they're in junior, what they're like in a dressing room. Are they leaders? Are they quiet guys? And this team seems to have a lot of the quiet guys, the guys that don't really want to speak up too much, just kind of go about their business, aren't really nasty or have that physical edge. So I think a large part is on management and the scouting staff to start bringing in players that play that way, and also developing them, letting them stay in the minors, letting them play a few years, teaching them down there the things they need to do, work with them on the mental side of the game, the things they want to see, trying to play with a little bit more of an edge, and not forcing the... Unfortunately, everyone has been forced in this organization, trying to turn things around so fast, but I think it all kind of falls on everyone. But for me, a large part is the players that you're bringing in. They got to have that character, that leadership quality they lack.
And so let's say you bring in a guy like Andrew Ferentz, who had it somewhere else. I don't know if one guy can ultimately make the difference, right?
No.
Like, and if there's not a connection between him and the young guys,
it's
almost for naught, correct?
Agree.
So, and who is it? Is it upon more of the young guys to try to gravitate towards him, or does he have to say, okay, those are the guys I have to go between, that I have to go to? How does it work?
I think Ferentz has to, as the leader, really go out of his way to try to capture those guys. I think as a young player, a lot of times you feel like you know everything, almost a sense of entitlement at times. And they've been here for a while now, some of the young guys, and had good seasons in this league. So I'm sure that any new guy coming in that's just going to try to start screaming and yelling, there's a learning process, and you have to gain the respect of those guys if you're Andrew Ferentz before you can really try to push upon them the right way to play. They have to respect you first and foremost.
Hey, boys, this team was completely gutted after Mac T. His vision of the team is now being brought into fruition by Akins. Do you actually stand by Mac T when he says Akins is doing a great job? Can you actually sit here and tell me Akins is getting the most out of the team? Todd Nelson in OKC is a coach that's getting the most out of his players because he knows how to communicate the right way. I said this before, and I'll say it again. The team has no respect for Akins. It's either you get rid of him or you gut the entire team again. Now, when people say they have no respect for a guy, well, then you have to have some inside information, because I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Right? If this team that all they've done is lose, brings in a new coach and doesn't respect him right away, then to me there's more issues than just a coach. You got some player issues as well.
And that's where I'm at. It's been 5 years of a revolving door of changing the coach. When I watch the games, when you watch the post games, is Dallas Akins the best coach I've ever seen? No, not at all. Are there things that he can improve on? Absolutely. It's his first year in the league. But at some point, I don't know why we continually blame the coaches in these parts. It can't always be the coaches. And at some point, it's got to fall on the players. And if every time that a season goes badly, it's just firing another coach, you really have to look at the players that you have. If they haven't respected five coaches, why are they going to respect a sixth? And that's where I look at it. I don't know if he's the best coach for this team, but I just think that they're going to be better off hearing the same message another year, knowing a coach isn't going to get fired.
Exactly.
And working on, let's find out which players are going to buy into this coach and buy into this system, and find out the ones who aren't, and we'll get rid of those guys.
And the suggestion that the team was gutted when McTavish left, keep in mind, McTavish's teams competed close for the playoffs, at least.
Yeah.
Right? He left, they finished 30th, 30th, 29th, 24th, and 29th. All the people said that McTavish was the worst coach ever. Likely not the case.